All right, everybody, thank you for being here this evening. This would have or was supposed to be our second meeting of the year. For obvious reasons, vacations, interference with schedules and all that, we had to cancel the meeting in January. So we've got a lot to talk about, some things to do. I know everybody in this room probably knows 99% of us, with the exception of our guest here this evening. Austin Gray is with the Delaware Department of Transportation. He is assigned projects on behalf of the Delaware Aviation Advisory Committee. So he's here to observe. Thank you for coming out, and hopefully you'll like what you see. So first thing we have to do, we'll call the meeting to order officially. Second item is approval of the agenda. That's before you. All that are members of the Delaware Coastal Airport Advisory Committee can vote on the approval of the agenda. Do I hear?
Motion to approve.
Motion approved.
Second.
Everybody in favor? Those in favor?
Aye.
Anybody opposed? Perfect. Election of officers. What we need to do next is to elect a chairman for a one-year term. I'm asking for any nominations.
I'd like to nominate
Doug.
Mr. Garrett Daroga, please.
Doug nominates Garrett.
Chairman for life.
Chairman for life. Yep.
Whether you like it or not.
I second that nomination.
Second nomination. All of those in favor of Garrett as our is our committee chairman?
Aye.
Anybody opposed? Perfect.
All right.
Garrett,
I'll
you're
take
up.
Over the agenda at this point, and now we need a nomination for a vice chairman. And take nominations from the floor, anybody? For a vice chairman.
Somebody want to do it?
Nominate Ezra Rickards.
Oh. Okay, we have a nomination for Ezra Rickards.
Second.
In second?
Yeah. Second.
Okay, take a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, we have a vice chairman.
Right. Yeah, congratulations.
Yeah.
Chairman of the Board of 12. Vice chairman.
All right, the next Six. Item is our approval of our minutes. And in your packages, minutes have also been emailed to you by Susan earlier in the week. And if there's no changes to those minutes, just need a motion to approve those. And a second.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Thank you. And then item five, our wildlife management update with Bob Ryan.
Wildlife hazard management update. Obviously, we're heading into the summer months. There's a few waterfowl birds on the airport. We recently ordered pyrotechnics to deal with those, which I have a great amount of fun running up and down the runways, firing those things off. I know we have one deer on the airport. And we have resources to be able to effectively deal with that. So, I mean, other than that, that's all I've observed on the airport.
We need to start shooting back at you today.
Yeah, I know, man. That's what scares
all
me.
Over the place. There's a lot of cannon fire coming from. You know, I got 1350 caliber guns down there.
Well, like I said, Larry, we have resources, so. Any questions on the wildlife management update? All right, let me zoom into the airport update. We got quite a bit of information. In my opinion, all good news. Yesterday, the County Council approved a bid for the construction of a second 9-unit T-hanger, which will go on the ramp in front of us directly in line north-south with the current 9-unit T-hanger building that's here. Two bids were received. The first bid, and the way this contract was put together, or this project was put together, we really sought two quotes. First was a bid on the purchase and erection of the building. The second was to piggyback on an existing contract for concrete work that's being done in the Air Business Park, and that contractor is responsible for saw cutting and installing the concrete foundation. I think some of you are probably aware that when we went around the first bid, the first go around with this bid, the contractor was expected to do all work. We received one bid in the amount of $1,698,000, $2,000 below $1.7 million. There was no way we were going to build that building, give the county the return on the investment in the period and the conditions that they set upon us for using county money to build this building. So we rebid the project. We received two bids. One was from the Whalen Company, the other from Delmarva Veteran Builders. Whalen Company was the low bid. Their project, including, or their purchase and erection of the building, came in at $467,900. The site work that's being done by an existing contractor came in at $319,990 for a total project cost of $787,890. Conditions imposed upon the airport by the county for use of taxpayers' general fund revenues to pay for the building require a 10-year payback at a modest interest.
15.
I'm sorry?
15-year.
Oh, 15-year. Okay. Yep. 15. Well, that's better. 15-year payback with a modest percentage, a built-in dollar amount for maintenance and upkeep of the building, also being able to set aside funds for future repairs to the building. T-hanger rent on this particular building is going to start at $800 a month. We have 61 names on a T-hanger waiting list, and we already have non-binding commitments from nine. So we're pretty happy about that project.
What is the spacing between those buildings?
It's the same distance, Larry, that the current building is from the center line of the taxi lane, which is barely visible because that's something else we're gonna mark up. I knew a question would come up.
I wanna say it's between 65 and 70 feet from the center line of the taxi lane.
Yeah, yeah.
It also added a few feet buffer, so
I think it's more than that because the latitude used to come down that, and that latitude's got a 72-foot. 72.
Just from one
yeah,
side.
Yeah, right, right.
So
wing to wing, wing tip. Yeah, so.
So it's a little more
yeah,
than
right.
The existing heat hanger is from the center line of the
right.
Same taxi lane. We're not changing the taxi lane.
Well, I'm 68 feet.
Don't quote me. I want to.
Oh, you got. Oh, yeah. Where it's well. The total width is well over 120 feet. I know that for
yeah.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So yeah, and that was taken into account when we positioned this building. Because we knew we had the latitude here, we knew we had the capability of having some rather large aircraft stored in some of these hangars, and we didn't want to restrict access from aircraft to and from, of course, the hangars and off to the airfield.
Back to the original, when all this work was done to put these hangars in, there were restrictions put on all of us that were building these hangars, height, width, et cetera, for large airplanes. That was part of the requirements.
There were restrictions put on
yes,
these hangars?
We had hangers? To have at least a minimum of 20-foot clearance in the door, because if the county wound up having to take over the building for some reason, foreclose on the lease and take over the building, there were requirements built into our lease for the size of the hangars had to be built as far as the doors opening and the height, et cetera.
You're talking about these
for
hangers.
These hangers, right?
The
hangers.
Yeah, not right. The T hangers.
Which, of
right.
Course, you start building T hangers out here, though. You know, you've got to make. That's why. That's the whole point of making. You know, the reason I was raising it. We had to make absolutely certain that, you know, we still have room for all the larger airplanes to get back and forth to
oh.
The larger hangars.
Yeah, there's.
So 120 foot. That's plenty.
Yes,
yeah.
We do.
Yeah, yep, yeah. And again, that was all factored into the layout of where the buildings were going to be positioned. Construction should begin within the next 2 months. project, we hope, is going to be completed before the Wings and Wheels event?
Well, it's so we have a kickoff meeting next week with the two contractors. Mm-hmm. It's a 224-day contract. A lot of that has to do with the time frame for fabrication and delivery of the building components. We anticipate the site work to start, I'm going to guess, probably within the next 4 to 6 weeks.
There we go. Yep.
The building contractor is going to be busy with working drawings and ordering and all that, so we won't see them show up probably for 3 or 4 months. It's going to be close because the schedule, when is Wings and Wheels? It's in the
first weekend in October.
So the 224 takes us to technically like the end of October. So that's one thing we're going to bring up at the meeting, Bob, is we're going to look to try to accelerate the time frame. But the time doesn't start ticking until they get their notice to proceed.
Right.
So we want to get that out as soon as we can.
And there is a buffer. What was it, Mark? A 20-foot buffer from the footprint of the building for the contractor to obviously be able to maneuver equipment and other things around. So,
yeah,
we should be.
Well, as far as working area goes,
yeah.
Yes,
we should be all right. So,
there'll be no taxi lane closures on any side of that.
Oh
we
no.
We do have to bring a new power source underneath the taxi lane. We gave the contractors options for open cut versus directional drill. We really prefer directional drill for those reasons.
Yeah.
And that's in fact what they're going to do. So no disruption to the taxi lane from a closure standpoint or from a pavement disruption standpoint. So they're just going to drill right underneath. There shouldn't be any, unless there's a short period of time where they come to us and say, hey guys, we're swinging some heavy equipment in during this time frame, we may have a short-term closure.
Give us enough notice so we can work around.
That's communication.
Oh, yeah.
That'll be at least 2 weeks out.
Yeah.
We'll tell the contractor that.
We'll work with you.
Okay.
Appreciate that. But we just got a real, real busy season from starting next week until early July. Busy season I've ever had. We're going to be flying every day. And not all of us here, though. Some of us over in the Navy at Pax River, but still we'll be flying every day.
Okay.
From now until actually the end of June.
I'm guessing the building erection, you'll probably see that start to go up right around that or just after that, maybe like in July, early mid-July.
Well, if it winds up being a problem, we just work around it. We work with a contractor and figure out what we need to accommodate.
We will continue to communicate with everybody involved.
Do the master plan because the runway.
And the other noteworthy thing is
you do that, I'll do that.
There's a couple members of the Wayland company that were also involved in the erection of the last T hangar in 17. So they're familiar with the product, they're familiar with the work and the working restrictions that they're going to be confined to. So that was somewhat reassuring for us.
Any other comments? Questions about the T-hanger building project? Let's go to item B, the airport master plan. Master plan's progressing. We meet the teams meetings with representatives from McFarland Johnson, who's the contractor putting together the master plan for us, and the Federal Aviation Administration. What you have in your handout are design alternatives and the preferred airport development alternative that target primarily the runway, because that's become the biggest issue right now that has really kind of extended this master plan process, and it's going to come right up to the very end of the term of the 4-year grant. What you have in front of you are four diagrams, front and back, and I'll draw your attention to page number one. Originally, it was our desire to add as much runway as possible with the relocation of Park Avenue. Originally, we thought we would be able to extend the runway by 805 feet. If you look up in the upper right-hand corner of this layout, you can see the takeoff runway available with the extra 805 feet. That would bring us to 6,305 takeoff distance available. We still have the need for some displaced thresholds for landing, for clearance of obstructions and or non-standard runway safety areas. But basically, with an 805-foot extension, that would give us 6,305 feet. On page two, if you look at the right-hand corner of the runway or the right side of the runway, that creek that I think most of us are familiar with that runs across the extended runway safety area at the approach of runway 22, if we culvert that and level out that land, we can get rid of that displaced threshold. That would still give us a takeoff runway available of 6,305 feet, but it would increase the accelerated stop distance available, and it would also increase the landing distance available. So what has happened, if you go over to page three, in some of the discussions that we've had with some of the airport tenants who are operating heavy equipment, they're asking us, is it possible to go beyond 6,305 feet with a longer runway extension or paving 500 feet into the 1,000-foot extended runway safety area, having displaced thresholds, but being able to use some of that 500 feet for takeoff? So, of course, we talked with McFarland Johnson about that. I'm familiar with an airport in California that does exactly that, has paved some of their runway into an extended runway safety area. And if the FAA will agree to do that, we could have a runway with an ultimate length of 7,305 feet. But because you cannot use the last 500 feet of pavement at the end of the runway as part of your takeoff runway available, because that goes into the safety area, we could extend the runway length, takeoff available, by 500 feet and potentially have a runway 6,805 feet long for takeoff. It's unusual. The FAA frowns on using or paving areas within the extended runway safety area. Runway safety areas are meant to overrun the end of the runway in an emergency situation. And the FAA typically prefers to have those areas compacted earth level, free of hazardous ruts that would result in an aircraft experiencing minimal damage if it overran the end of the runway. So that's our goal right now. Preferred airport development alternative, we're gonna shoot for a 7,305 foot runway with 6,805 feet available for takeoff, and will still be impacted by non-standard runway safety areas that will reduce the runway or the landing distance available. But right now, it seems like takeoff length is what's critical. And on page four, a couple of excerpts directly from the airport master plan as it exists right now should explain the whole reasoning behind paving into the safety areas to give us as much runway as possible. That's the maximum runway we can get short of relocating the railroad tracks, and that's not going to happen. Now, when this project is going to happen, could be sooner than later. We're working with Senator Tom Carper's office in writing a legislative fix that we hope will appear in the FAA's reauthorization bill, which will create a pilot program where non-primary commercial service airports, those are the general aviation airports, that have an existing and an immediate need to extend their runway that do not meet or exceed the FAA's federal order permitting an extension of a runway. We're hoping that this legislative fix can create a pilot program where airports like us can submit an application under this pilot program, hopefully be selected, and quite possibly start this runway environmental assessment, design, construction sooner than later. Now, I've just learned that there's another option that's being worked out there right now, and I don't know, Doug, if you want to share that with us now.
Sure. We've been in talks with either Senator Coons or Senator Carper about getting an earmark for the $22 million for the extension, the runway extension, so that we can get that money in. So we can, that's, that won't be another hurdle. So it'd be, it'd be nice if we could get that. That'd be really super.
Would that, is $22 million enough to do this 7,300 foot runway, or is that just?
That's not included in that.
No, it'll give us the five.
That's just 500.
We'll see how it works. You know, we might.
Probably 28 to 30 million for the whole shebang, the preferred ultimate alternative. We were around 2022. A lot of that has to do with the paving, more paving.
Yeah.
We wouldn't normally pave those things.
Don't they have to fit so much weight in their weight testing done on that?
Well, we obviously want the extension to meet the load-bearing capacity of the current pavement.
Yes.
I mean, if it doesn't, then you have to choose which has the greater load-bearing capacity and make that your runway.
Yeah,
and
it wouldn't make much
sense
to do it
for another meeting.
Okay.
But also included in that, $30 million that Mark mentioned, the FAA has identified that we have currently all the safety areas that run off the end of the runway and run the entire length of the runway, 250 feet each side of the center line, off the pavement into the grass, do not meet FAA current design standards. And they want us to address those at the same time that we do the runway extension. So there's where you're getting an increase in the project cost also. So either way, we're working on this long time project to extend this runway, because we know under current FAA orders we do not meet or exceed the number of aircraft operations and the distance that those aircraft are flying that would warrant a runway extension. We know we don't meet that. We don't know when we're going to be able to meet that, and you have to prove on a consistent basis, and that's previous years, that you're going to exceed that magic 500 operation numbers of the latitudes, the Gulf Streams, the 737s. And we fall short of that right now. So jumping back to this legislative fix, which is also something that Tom Carper is working on and is drafting right now, to create a pilot program and for it to be funded with federal grant money, it makes it eligible for any non-primary commercial service airport, a general aviation airport, to be able to submit an application for this project. This legislative fix has to be so perfectly written for us that when we submit an application, the FAA is going to immediately approve us. And what's happened is in this latest bipartisan infrastructure law that Congress passed 2 years ago, the $1.7 trillion project, the airport's share of that money, $5 billion was created or set aside for a five-year program, $1 billion a year for airports to submit applications for terminal work only. extensions, improvements, new constructions, whatever. The FAA thought they'd get 40 applications the first year. They got over 800 the first year. The second year, they got a little over 400 applications. They awarded only 90 contracts. So this legislative fix, if that's what we're, if we're coming at this on two accounts now, the legislative fix and the earmark, that legislative fix had better be written so perfectly to meet our situation that no other or few other airports are going to be able to submit an application and be awarded a grant under this legislative fix. So we've got the earmark as a backup. And let's hope that comes through.
Sounds like the earmark should be plan
A. Well, yeah. Well,
who writes that?
Tom Carper's transportation assistant is writing it right now. And we're exchanging information back and forth about Aloft and their presence, Shell Aviation and their presence with their aircraft, and even the FAA's forecast that the turbine fleet in the general aviation that makes up the part of the general aviation fleet is going to continue to increase. You know, that's the FAA's even forecasting increases in the turbine fleet at that end. So hopefully one of those two will fall in our lap and we can finally begin this needed runway extension project.
Cool.
Folks, that's all I have on the master plan, the hangar unit. Other than that, are there any other general questions or, you know, questions of interest, points of interest you'd like to bring up about the airport? Anything going on?
One question. Aeronautical site number 3, right out here in the middle of everything. What is in the master plan? What, that doesn't look like it's going to have any streets or anything to go to. So what could you build out of this?
Good point, Larry. One of the things that we're also trying to do is to maximize the available land to be able to attract more aeronautical, aerospace industry jobs. One of the things we're proposing is to eliminate taxiway B that runs right up through the middle of the airfield and gives you access, closer access, to the runway 28 threshold. One of the things that the FAA told us not to do was to draw ramps, taxiways, hangars, parking lots in this aeronautical site A, because it tends to lock you into having to design.
Which one is A?
I you're right, aeronautical site 3, sorry about that. Aeronautical site 3, not to draw runways, taxiways, not illustrate anything in there, just identify it as an aeronautical site available for aeronautical development. And then if you are successful in romancing an aviation or aerospace industry who wants to build, have them or through us submit their proposed layout, and then the FAA will review and approve that and include that as an amendment to the airport layout plan. So as far as getting access or a road over there, we didn't want to draw that in there either, because we're not 100% certain where it may end up.
Taxiway and come in from the industrial park.
Well, that's what's going to happen.
If 3 came to be, we would probably look at reinstilling a stub from the end of Nanticoke.
Yeah.
It's currently fenced off, but we would look at providing vehicular access from that point, which is where the road curves around the road. But as Bob points out, we just don't get into the weeds on those details on the master plan.
Exactly.
Anymore.
Yeah, because I think most of you who probably have seen the current FAA-approved master plan, the airport layout plan, that whole triangular area is just covered with hangars and ramps and everything else.
Non-aeronautical site 1,
Rick, is available for really open for any business. Doesn't necessarily have to be aviation related. It could be. But if we designated it aeronautical, then it could be used only for aviation purposes. By designating it non-aeronautical, it can be used for anything. Just like the existing
That makes a lot more sense to be an aeronautical usage than an aeronautical Site 3.
Well, we've got the problem with Site 1 is we have some elevation wetland issues in there. It's not a desirable area. It's not as desirable as aeronautical Site 3 is at this moment. We'd have to have a lot of fill. We'd have to bring in a lot of fill for Site 1.
There's also the possibility of an alternative or additional access point to Site 1 near Park Avenue. So, I mean, obviously the state would weigh in on that, but that could be something we could look at down the line as well.
Are they designated wetlands out there?
They haven't been designated yet.
What was the question?
Are there designated wetlands out there?
Sure. I mean, they're not showing this, but yeah.
Yeah. You see all those flags?
Yeah. When you see all those cactails growing out of there?
Down.
Yeah.
That's the problem. Cattails will send an environmental assessment. Going
so
crazy.
You have to have electric airplanes.
Yeah, really. Well, yeah.
Charging stations.
Yeah.
All right. Any other questions for Bob on the master plan?
Let me bring up just one more thing, and I'm glad Austin is here also. The Delaware Aviation Advisory Committee is wanting to set up a FAA aviation conference for the state of Delaware. The meeting is being targeted. A date hasn't been selected yet, but the meeting is being targeted sometime in October, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. It's going to be an all-day event with lunch being served. Right now, the agenda is being put together. We've got representatives from the FAA's Airport District Office, the Harrisburg Airport District Office. They are our AIP money pocket. We got people coming from the FAA's Eastern Region who has jurisdictional responsibility over the state of Delaware. Give us updates on financial programming, new initiatives, post-pandemic recovery events. Potential speakers are going to include statewide economic groups, consulting firms, FBOs, and conference range of topics, everything from industry disruptions, sustainability efforts, economic development, workforce aviation system planning, commercial service up in Wilmington, and airport construction. So as this conference agenda grows, I'll make that available to everybody. And if you're interested in attending, I think it would be well worth it.
Where's the venue?
Where are we?
I think right now we're looking at Del Tech.
Yeah. Estimating anywhere between 60 to 70 people in attendance. Again, lunch provided, lunch break with lunch provided. You know, the sessions are going to run basically 30 minutes each, with 10 minutes Q&A, and it's building. And this will be the first conference that the Delaware Aviation Advisory Committee has held since 2019.
First one in a while.
Yeah. Yep. And most state aviation agencies and or airport associations will hold conferences like this every year. In fact, one of the guest speakers is going to be a gentleman I know real well, Ashish Shalanki, who's the director of Office for Regional Aviation Assistance from the Maryland Department of Transportation. Good guy. He's been there quite a while. Maryland has a great airport AIP program, not only for public use airport, for publicly owned airports, but also for privately owned airports. So he'll be a wealth of information.
Who's from the county should we have there? Mark and Hans, maybe?
Well, I'll be there if Mark wants to come.
And, well, you, of
yeah,
course.
Yeah, Mark. Doug? Why not?
I know how to get in an airplane. I don't know anything about flying.
we'll make sure there's a county presence.
Yes.
Okay. Cool.
You said lunch. I heard that.
Oh, yeah, man. Lunch is it. Lunch is it, man. Lunch is it. You would?
Ron Covis and I would probably like to attend that, too.
Perfect. Yeah, I'll keep you guys clued in on what's going on. Yeah. So, you know, I had mentioned earlier, I was happy to see everybody. All of us, you know, recognize probably 99% of the faces here with the exception of Austin. But some of you probably aren't aware of Patty also. Patty will be taking Susan's place when Susan retires someday.
Susan?
And the cool thing, the cool thing about having Patty coming on board right now, not only the fact that she's a great person, but Susan gets to train her on, what, 30 plus years of experience on, you know, on how to do my job. So it makes my life easier. But we're happy to have Patty here also. And if you guys are in the terminal building, poke your head in and say hello. And I mean, what's the date or what's the estimated departure time, or is that still kind of
it's still
yeah, floating right around? Yeah,
TBD, Bob.
Yeah, exactly.
That's cool. This
just look at the calendar on our wall. There's
really
a big
good
date.
Yeah, yeah.
We know the date.
Oh man, but I'll tell you what, I know from experience having somebody who's been with you at an airport as long as you have, and those that have been with you well before you started, are a walking encyclopedia on the history of this airport. And, you know, Susan has just made it so easy for me, instead of having to dig through mountains of paperwork or research, you know, the craziest topics, I can just ask her, and she knows it right off the top of her head. So it works well. And again, I'm glad that, you know, that Patty's on board, and there's going to be a transition period also, because she's been she's come in here with eyes wide open also.
Definitely.
So that's all I have. So.
Okay. The next item is the public comments. We do have a couple members of the public here. Anybody want to say anything? Brian?
Yeah, I noticed that the turf operations in the runway safety areas has dropped off the agenda.
Yep. It's not, it has dropped off the, it's dropped off the agenda. It's not out of mind, but right now our priority is this master plan.
Sure, and of course it could be part of the master plan. I mean, if the runway safety areas were compliant in the first place,
right,
then it would be a non-issue.
Sure.
Simply be another element of how operations work at the airport.
You're right. But right now, you know, again, with the deadline date coming on this and some information that seems to be driving the potential at this runway extension and the safety area work simultaneously is coming up, our priorities are this master plan right now. So
there's a lot of us have priorities also on the grass landing area. I got two more aircraft that we're leaving 15th of April to go out to California to fly from California to Delaware that are grass operated. They were built in 1940, long before they were very many paved runways around. Both of these aircraft are, you know, they do not like the asphalt. It's much more difficult to handle these antique airplanes on asphalt than it is on grass. That's what they're made for. So,
my question
there's a
is,
lot.
Yeah.
There's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of aircraft out there that are much safer to be operated on and off of grass than asphalt.
So if we're working this hard on the master plan, and of course the runway safety area, we would have to include that turf area. Why wouldn't that be part of the discussion right now?
It's not a priority right now.
It's not. The isn't that priority? Oh, your priority or
it's
our
not,
priority?
It's not a priority right now. We're trying to get this master plan done first. If we were going to designate a dedicated runway.
No, it's not a runway.
It's not a runway.
I know it's not a runway. If we were going to designate a dedicated runway, grass runway, it would be in the master plan. Operations off the safety area are not a priority right now. Getting the, because we can introduce that, as I think has been hinted, at any time. But it's not a priority for the master plan right now. To include in the master plan that we allow the use of the safety area for aircraft operations. You get into a touchy environment with that. And right now, we want this master plan approved as is. Then we can come in.
It does not require FAA approval. You know, Mike Genter, you know, brought all that information over to you.
It's not a priority at this moment. The master plan is the priority.
So you're saying it's not your priority?
Not at this moment, no.
Okay.
But it's not off the table.
I think those officers can operate out of this airport. If I can add to the discussion, I think it's also important to realize that the master plan is just that. It's a planning tool that helps guide the airport, what the airport and the airport sponsor wants to do over the next 20 years. It doesn't mean that we have to do it. It doesn't mean that we can't be all left or right. So even when the master plan becomes gospel, so to speak, and FAA approved, it doesn't mean that we have to do what's in the master plan. It also means that we could do things that possibly aren't in the master plan.
There's a lot of users of this airport that it is a priority for.
Right.
So I guess it's up for us to see what we need to do to...
The point I'm making is this addressed. Just if the master plan gets done, then the grass runway is not included.
It's not a grass runway. You know, we need to stop using that term. It's a grass operations area, and it's not a runway. There's a very distinct difference.
The use of the area for airline operations is not specifically included in the master plan. It doesn't mean that it can't be something that's tabled and considered at some other point.
It can be added at any time.
That's correct.
Whenever somebody makes it a priority. Okay. And there's
a lot of users
of this airport that it is a priority.
And other prospective users who aren't using it because there's at least no designated area where turf operations would be permissible. If we had an assessment, which it sounds like the county already conducted an assessment of the runway safety areas, that identified parts of the runway safety area that were compliant, then we'd know where turf operations would be safe and could be potentially conducted. All that really needs to be is documented and then obtain permission from the airport sponsor to conduct those turf operations in the runway safety area.
Okay, all right, anybody else from the public? Okay, we'll go to our last item, the next meeting date, which our charter says we meet once a quarter. This will be the first quarter meeting. The second quarter meeting could be anytime April, May, or June. April seems too soon. June is getting to the summer months, and I would suggest we meet in May. Is there any strong objection to May?
Memorial Day weekend.
Well, before Memorial Day weekend, I would say that the 24th would be, the fourth Wednesday would be the 24th. That would be...
I can't do it that day.
What
day
is that? He won't be.
Wait, what is it?
All right, so we got a couple people already saying they can't make it that week, or with the week before the 24th, I guess it's the 17th.
17th,
is that,
I can do it.
Does that work for?
Don't do, you know, just if it's just me, don't.
We're doing just for you, Doug. Just to, no, I mean, Bob's got conflicts too.
I'll be in Baltimore all day that day.
Understood.
Yeah, because I'm gonna be out of the country. I'm gonna be out of the country the week of the 22nd.
So you could do the week before?
17th?
I think so, yeah.
Okay. We're tentatively going to schedule this meeting for May 17th. That's a Wednesday. It may be in this hangar, may be in the new EOC.
It's probably.
Huh? It will? Okay, I'm being told it will be here in this hangar, so we'll not be in the new building. But one day we're going to move back to a real building with, you know, bathrooms and heat and air conditioning and all the rest
of it. That building's getting real close. It's getting real close.
We got our rocks out there now, so.
I see the rocks.
Signs almost up.
Yeah. Are the rocks to prevent drunk drivers from busting through the fence? Is that what they were placed there?
I think there's a whole lot of aesthetics something else that went into that.
Okay.
Okay. Different opinions, let's not put it on Jennifer this
week. All right. Okay, so we got that set, so we just need a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
And a second.
Second it.
All right. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mr.